Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark, the second Gospel. So please turn there. I'll be reading Mark chapters 13 and 14. I'll pray. I'll read through it, possibly stopping for some devotional comments. Think about some application at the end and then pray again. And we'll be done. But I want to encourage you to do the same thing and to consider God's Word in your life today. Mark chapter 13. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." Okay, I'm going to pause there just for a moment. As Jesus is talking about the end days, there is lots of confusion on the part of his disciples, but it certainly mirrors the kinds of confusion that people have had over the past 2,000 years, and even today with these things. Let's continue in verse 9. "You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be the days of distress, unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world, until now, and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'Look, there he is,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." All right, that's the end of chapter 13. Now, this chapter, like some other scripture passages, especially in the New Testament, bring a ton more questions than they do answers. You know, we tend to just take this and right away think about our days. And some of the things that are mentioned in here will cause people to say, see, that's happening right now. There's earthquakes and there's famines. So this is the end. Here it comes. There's coronavirus. But remember, these are some things that they expected to happen in that day. And we don't fully understand. Jesus is talking about a future time. He's also talking about that generation. Does he have more than one thing in mind? So without further study on eschatology, the study of future things, without putting all of the scriptures together, in terms of devotional thoughts, I think you just kind of, what I tend to do here is, knowing that different people have different interpretations of some of these things biblically, is to look and say, okay, what is it that is applicable to me today, even without the future study or putting everything in an eschatological framework? Well, there's the part of knowing that the end will come and being on the lookout, being ready, really, right? Being ready for Jesus to return, being ready for these things to all come about. There's also the application of thankfulness to be the elect. Very simply, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you're elect. And to know that God is going to take care of the elect now, he's also going to take care of the elect when we're not here. He's going to take care of the elect when these things all happen. Also, we are to be aware that there will be many people come, and there have over the past 2,000 years, who claim to be the Messiah or claim to be some kind of religious leader, to follow them instead of Jesus and his word, and we are to stay away from them. And the fact is, no one knows when this is going to happen. So this takes away all of the predictions of people, even those who might say, look at what's happening now. It's going to happen this month. It's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen this year. We don't know. So he doesn't really want us trying to figure that out. He really wants us, and the last word there, verse 37, watch. He wants us to be ready. So when it comes to the details of the end days in Scripture, there's lots of study to be done. But when it comes to just a devotional reading of something like this in Mark 13, I think you take the overall biblical principles that are given here and apply those. Chapter 14. Now the Passover and the Festival of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money, so he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. So just pause there to think about this woman's sacrifice and the response, indignant response it says to her. We know in other places that Judas, had said this And then we have him leaving at the end to go sell Jesus out. But the other disciples as well, you know, taking a look at this, not seeing it, not seeing the sacrifice of this woman and thinking only about money and the way they looked to other people. Verse 12. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So this is what's often called the Last Supper, and turned into then the communion that we celebrate today, as Jesus is talking about his body and his blood, the suffering that is to come. Verse 27, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not. Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "today," yes, tonight, "before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. This is in the different gospel accounts where Jesus says they're all going to leave him, which of course they do when trouble comes. And Peter insists that he will die for Jesus. He will never betray him. And Jesus, who they know has never been wrong before, and yet he's fighting against him on this, "You're going to betray me, before the morning, before the rooster crows twice. You're going to betray me three times." Verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Wow. Full of drama here. So Jesus goes to pray. It's the famous Garden of Gethsemane prayer. And Peter, who had just said, "I will go with you to die," is now falling asleep with the other guys. And here's Jesus praying in agony, troubled, knowing what's coming. "Ask God the Father, is there a possibility of us accomplishing this without this suffering? Not what I will, but what you will." Verse 43. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priest, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Oh, note, remember also, he just said, the hour has come. He had been saying throughout the Gospels, my hour has not yet come. You know, when people would try to arrest him or take him, it wasn't time. Therefore, they couldn't do it. But now, the hour has come, so it's going to happen. Verse 44. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. We know from another gospel it was Peter who did that. Verse 48, Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Another gospel, you can read that Jesus healed, I think it was Malchus was his name, his ear that Peter had cut off. Verse 53. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Surprise, surprise. Many testified falsely against him. Surprise, surprise. But their statements did not agree. Oh, wow, this is this is sad. But remember, this is all a part of God's plan. Verse 57. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands. Yet even their testimony did not agree then. Now, he did say that. Of course, he was not talking about physically rebuilding the temple. Verse 60. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fist, and said, Prophesy! And the guards took him and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, This fellow is one of them. Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. That's the end of the reading for today. And as I think about these chapters in terms of devotional thoughts and takeaways, one thing I think about as it relates to God is, again, just his sovereignty. I mean, even with the prophecy, you know, of the future, God's got all these times figured out. God the Father has it all prepared. Jesus is reminding them all the way through this process. Here's how Scripture is being fulfilled. And here's what you need to do. Now, the present disciples at that time, I can relate to them. You know, they're not understanding everything that Jesus is saying. They're wanting to honor him. They don't get the fact that he's got to do this. He's got to suffer and die. They're not quite getting that. And they have, you know, a higher view of themselves than reality. They will not deny. They will not flee. They will go with him to death. And yet here we are, all of this being played out. Now later, these things will come flooding back to them. The Last Supper and what Jesus said and who is going to betray him and what was going to happen and what needed to happen. So for me, today as I think about this, I focus on the words of Jesus just about the times to come. And for me, I hear so many different theories and thoughts about these being the last days and everything that's happening now and people who want you to follow them. And it's just a reminder that this is still going on, that these things will happen when the time is right, that I don't need to try to predict it. In fact, we're not supposed to predict it. No one knows. But what we are supposed to be to do is to be ready to, and for me, that means to make sure my sins are confessed, to make sure that I am walking with God each day, to make sure that I am following him, to make sure when my weakness comes and I'm not following him the way that I should, that I repent of that. And that then I start following him again, to live for him today, for his honor and glory, and to be so grateful that what he went through here was for my redemption. Father, thank you for these passages of scripture. And even though I still don't fully understand, Lord, and there's lots of different ideas about exactly what these things mean for us today, I can trust you in your spirit to help me to know how I am supposed to respond. So help me, Father, to be faithful to your word, to remember that all your word comes to pass at just the right time and in just the way you have designed it. And I can be patient. But today, Lord, I can be dedicated to you. So help me to honor you throughout today. In Jesus' name, amen.